This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the happy hour, ladies and gentlemen, on this Monday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, along with you as we wind the last hour of Gwynn and Chris down. Getting closer and closer to some of the sports, major sports, getting back out there. Obviously, PGA Tour has had a few events now that have been, I think, for the most part, pretty successful. There's been some positive tests, but I don't think any of us could expect to just roll through any of these seasons without having one or a couple positive tests. The NBA, MLB are the next two up, and Chris, it seems like especially in the NBA, a lot more mixed emotions about going, not just in terms of social issues, but in terms of health. I mean, you got a few guys, Dinwiddie, who I mentioned earlier, has come down with COVID-19. He's unsure if he'll be back for the restart. But you also have a guy like Van Fleet from the Toronto Raptors, who really feels like, Fred Van Fleet feels like this is a very terrible time to be restarting the NBA, but on the same token, understands that this is his livelihood and he's willing to take a risk. He said that if the players would have come and the majority of them would have said, you know, we don't think it's safe to play, he wouldn't have not have resisted at all. But since the majority of them haven't said that, he's going to go forge along and play this season, it sounds like, even despite his reservations of doing so.
Yeah. I think the NBA, the reason that there's a little more hesitation in the NBA than there is maybe perhaps in baseball, and we don't know how many guys are going to opt out of baseball. Scott Miller said he probably thought it'd be a handful or so, and if we had Mike Leake make that announcement today, Ryan Zimmerman of the Nationals, Joe Ross of the Nationals, and there'll probably be some others, but I think that the difference with NBA is the close proximity of the game itself, basketball. Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to be as close to the guy you're guarding as you possibly can get. You know, there's social distancing is not preferred in the NBA. You know, I mean, Patrick Beverley does not make a living by getting as far away from the guy he's covering as he can.
No, he doesn't.
So that I think, just in general, I mean, and the sweating and the just the close proximity of the players and the fact that you're indoors, I think even though it's a bubble in the NBA, I truly believe the NBA is doing everything they possibly can to try to make the players as safe as they possibly can and create as safe of an environment as they, you know, I really do. I really believe that. I don't have any doubt, but I still think that that's the reason why there's a little bit more concern in the NBA, just because of the way the sport is. Baseball, you're outdoors. There's a little room between the players.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's going to be something that I think we continue to see moving forward. The kind of hesitation, at least until games get going. Now, on another note, baseball wise, if you've been paying attention to your social media, there's a tip your cap hashtag going on right now, and that is a representation of Negro League Baseball celebrating its 100-year anniversary. See a lot of different guys really jumping in and giving their tip of the hat. I know for myself, my father kind of schooled me on a lot of the Negro Leagues, but I had the opportunity to meet Buck O'Neill when I was a young kid before he passed away, and I know how impactful that was on me
and
my journey in baseball.
I wish I could have met him, man. I used to love to listen to him talk. So
he was awesome.
That must have been an honor.
It was. I mean, he was a lot older at the time, but he was sharp as a whip, even in his old age. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the tip your cap to the Negro Leagues, who were celebrating their 100-year anniversary actually a couple days ago. So we were obviously not on air at that point, so I felt like today was the day to actually get that in. We have a caller, Scraper?
Yes, we do.
Caller on the line. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Is this Chris?
That's right, TG.
What's going on, Chris? How you doing, man? What's on your mind?
Man, you know, I'm so excited that baseball's coming back, and me being, you know, a New Yorker on the West Coast and a Met fan, I remember that akin from San Diego to back in Flushing, we have Bob Murphy, who I grew up listening to games on the radio on WFAN, also in the CBS Sports Radio family in New York, brother of Jack Murphy, a San Diego legend right there. So I said, hey, no matter what, the Murphy brothers certainly brought us a lot of good days at the ballpark as us 80s babies, right, TG?
That's right.
That is right.
Wonderful.
Chris,
wonderful.
You have a tremendous Buck O'Neill story that you wanted to share with us. Please do so.
Well, you know, I think there's so much to be said right now about looking at the 100th anniversary of the Dear Negro Leagues as a place of business in America, of interstate commerce for African Americans. That was tremendous, and putting things on the map of ball players that almost sometimes didn't get the shine. But they got the shine in those big league ballparks, as we know, when the home team, the big league club, was on the road. And we got to learn so much about Mr. Buck O'Neill from the wonderful Baseball 1994 documentary when you and I were barely teenagers during the work stoppage of 94 and 95. Now, Mr. O'Neill is not here anymore, as we know. But when I got to meet him in 1995, as we said, his Q score, just like your pop's Q score, was at a high point because of when they were on screen every day. And although Buck O'Neill was never able to be on the screen at the height of his career in the Negro Leagues for the Kansas City Monarchs or coaching with the Chicago Cubs, he got to be in that Ken Burns PBS documentary. So I was excited to meet him, and my father figured out when I was about 13, circa 95, and the strike was still on, and we got to go to a card show in suburban New York City. And Buck was one of the lead of a couple Negro Leaguers that were signing autographs. And it was such an honor because we knew this man was an American icon that captured an era so eloquently and shared it with those of us that never got to see him play. And he said to me, I handed him my baseball and I was almost nervous. And Mr. O'Neill said, young man, you're a ball player? And I said, well, yeah, you know, I'm trying. You know, every 13 years old, we all thought we were going to get to the big leagues, right, TJ?
That's right.
And he said, he signed Buck O'Neill with one L. Everybody knows Mr. O'Neill with one L in his name. And he said, well, if you're a ball player, you should be all right with this. And he gave me that wonderful smile, and he flipped that baseball high in the air with a flick of a wrist, shadow ball style. And my father told me, man, if my son bobbled this one, I know he had no chance. I dropped, and I grabbed it one-handed. I caught it on the seam so we wouldn't smudge his autograph. That baseball down near 25 years later, now the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues, means so much to me because this game has given us so much. And thank you, Mr. O'Neill. If it wasn't for you, Mr. O'Neill, there would be no Tony Gwynn Sr., and then probably there would be no T.G. Jr., and then the next generation, black, white, or other, that plays our beautiful game. Gentlemen, thanks for the time. Soon enough, go Padres. Let's go Mets. Play ball.
I love it. Chris Mack, ladies and gentlemen, New Yorker out here in California. I've known Chris for quite a few years, ever really since coming up in the big leagues. Met him in New York. Just an excellent guy. He's also been responsible for helping our show be able to grab some of these artists that have been doing some of these Topps cards. By the way, there's a new one out, and I'm working on getting this young man on our show. He's got another terrific take on the Tony Gwynn rookie card. So hopefully sometime this week we'll get him on. But thanks again to Chris Mack for coming on and sharing the Buck O'Neill story. That's the thing about baseball, right, is most kids who've had an experience like this fall in love with the game forever. And it just takes one experience like that. So, gentlemen who play the game, if you're out there listening, just remember that 5, 10, 15, 20-second conversation could literally change a kid's life just by you showing a smile and showing them somewhat of a good time. It goes a long, long way. Trust me, I was one of those kids at one point.
Yep, and you were one of those kids, and your dad was one of those guys who gave those talks endlessly and inspired a generation of kids. Still to this day, that was a great story by Chris Mack, and it was fun to. I would really love to know. You know, they've done 30 for 30s on just about everything that I'm interested in. I would really be interested in a 30 for 30 on the Negro Leagues, and not all about the fact that they were kept out of baseball, because we understand all that, and that would have to be part of the story. But I'd like to see, maybe there just is no footage. I would love to see some of these guys play. I'd love to see some highlights of some of their games, of some of their championship series. I've heard the Kansas City Monarchs. I've heard of the Homestead Grays. I've heard of the Pittsburgh Crawfords. But I've never gotten to actually see anything, maybe a couple of pictures here and there, and that's about it. And I wish that there was a way that they could tell their stories beyond, you know, everything we always talk about with the Negro Leagues, which is, you know, they couldn't play in the big leagues and this and that and all that. That has to be part of the story. But I'd like to just hear about the league itself, too.
Yeah, no.
And I don't know where to go to find that.
Well, really. I know at some point, hopefully once everything calms down, I plan on making that trip out to Kansas City where the Negro League Hall of Fame. I'm like, I've been dying to go. I never got a chance to go while I was playing because I never crossed paths going to Kansas City or anything like that. Yeah. So I'm going to make it a point to get out there at some point. I hear it is a fascinating museum.
They brought a trailer with some stuff from that museum to Petco Park maybe 10 years ago or
that's
something.
Right.
And I remember going through that. And really, I mean, I didn't want to come out of there. I was in there so long. But I don't know. I just love the stories. Cool Papa Bell.
That's
remember that name?
Yes, I do.
Satchel Paige used to say he was so fast that he could get up, turn the light switch off, and be in bed before the room got dark.
Oh, wow. That is fast.
That's how fast Cool Papa Bell was. There you go.
I remember it when we went to Cooperstown 2 years ago.
I used to try to do that when I was a little kid, too, by the way. I try to flip
the
light switch and then try to get in bed real fast before the light.
And no matter how close your bed was, you never got
there. No, you never made it.
Well, I knew I could. I never had a shot, so I never tried. When we went to Cooperstown to the Hall of Fame for Trevor Hoffman's induction, we went through and there was a Negro Leagues exhibit there. And that was pretty interesting, too, going around and reading about all the guys that you've never heard of. So, that's good stuff.
I'd love to see more about the guys that I have heard of. I mean, I've heard of so many of these guys, but all they are is names on a sheet of paper or maybe one photo, you know? And I would just love to see, and I just, maybe they're just, they don't have the stuff, doesn't exist. The archives are not there to put together they've put together 30 for 30s on the U.S. Football League, for heaven's sakes, you know,
and right.
And all of the, you know, the XFLs and all of this stuff. How about really somebody diving into the Negro Leagues and doing something really spectacular? I think it would be so interesting. It'd be so fun to watch, but you know, maybe somebody's working on it right now. Who knows? I hope so.
Yeah, maybe so. Just a reminder, our people, our businesses, and our leaders will help hashtag Move California Forward. You can help move us forward and stay connected while listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's step away, take a break. When we come back, we got a 3xP. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Padres pen pal on the way. Matthew Scraby and Town. The San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's a look at traffic with Kelly Danik.
At just 6:20 is the time. Earlier we had a terrific countdown. So good that we took it right up to the top of the hour. And didn't happen to mention that our countdown is brought to you by our good friends at Valvoline. So we apologize for that. Scraby, why can't I find this today?
Not sure.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 30 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for the location nearest you.
I got an oil change recently.
So much to Valvoline. You need to get a lot of stuff changed.
Well, okay. But I did get an oil change recently. It was a very easy process. Okay. Very easy process. You just sit in your car. You don't have to get out of your car. It's amazing. I just played some video games on my phone. Just sat there.
What else is new?
What?
What else is new? You play video games. Stunning.
Prison Tycoon is waiting, okay?
All right.
Nothing
cool Papa Bell's real name, by the way, was James Bell. With all due respect to James Bell, he could not have been as widely romanticized as his nickname not been Cool Papa Bell.
Yeah, Cool
That's
Papa
one of the great
Bell certainly has
of all time.
It has a certain feel to it.
There's a certain feel to that,
for sure.
Yes. All right, we are on the PPP, I believe.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Padres Pen Pals is something we started last year, where if you have any questions for Tony and Chris about the Padres, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby, or you can find me on Instagram at Matt Scraby. You can also ask the guys and say, use the hashtag Padres Pen Pals, and I will check that, and we'll try to ask your questions. So I've been saving up a few questions here in the last couple weeks, and we're ready for another edition. It's good. It's good to hear that scribble.
Yes.
That means baseball is here. I don't know why I'm talking like this. The first one is from Raul in downtown.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Raul in downtown is asking.
Be careful with the accents.
I know. I said yeehaw one time, and I was apparently a terrible person for saying yeehaw.
Just saying.
You're right. Happen. You're right.
I don't want another crazy, mad IG. Direct message again.
And I don't want to have to wake up at 3 a.m. with a text from Tony asking me if I yeehawed. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. But yeah, it was a little crazy. I mean, just because I do a Southern accent doesn't mean I'm making fun of Southern people.
Never mind. Just move on.
Okay. All right. Jeez. Raul from downtown. It's going to be a short season for baseball, and being a baseball nerd, I love thinking about all the different ways lineups are going to be managed. I wanted to know from you guys, do you think you can go to a four-man rotation to up another bench or bullpen spot? And we're going to start with you, Chris.
Four-man rotation? No,
correct.
I think you got to go to like an eight-man rotation or a double four-man rotation with as two pitchers pitching each game. I think you're going to see more openers. I think you're going to see more guys going five innings, three, four innings. So, no, I don't think you can go to a four-man rotation in the short season. I don't think the pitchers will be ready. Perhaps the last month or so you might be able to get away with something like that. Last month or so, that's the whole season. So, maybe down at the end, last couple of weeks, you could maybe use your best four guys because I think they'll be their arms will be worked, you know, to that point by then. But I think early you're going to need a lot more than four.
Tony, what do you think?
Is this a four-man rotation for the whole year or to start the season?
I pretty much think he's trying to manipulate the roster to get you another bat.
No,
so that you get rid of the fifth guy, and since it's a shorter year, innings limitation is not going to happen.
No, this isn't the year that you want an extra bat. This is the year you want extra arms, especially early on. Remember, spring training is only going to be 3 weeks. Normally, spring training is like, what, six? counting before they start games. So it's half of the time. So you can imagine pitchers, no matter how much they've been trying to stay on it, it's not the same when you start facing real live hitters. It's just a different intensity. And all the pitchers, no matter their work they've done, their arms are not quite ready to go that level. So I think you need more pitchers. I like the idea, especially early, of piggybacking starters on starters. And also, you got to remember, during this whole time that you're expected to be trying to win games in this 60-game race, you have to be protecting your bullpen. Like, the starters won't be ready, so therefore bullpens will have to be used if you're not using your starters correctly.
All right. Thank you to Raul in downtown for that. Our next Padres pen pal for today is Caesar in Imperial Beach. Tony, you're up first on this one. He says, can you explain to me how the rosters will work this season? I am not the biggest baseball person, but I am interested to see the oddities of this season. How can the Padres operate without the minor leagues, Tony?
Because they have a taxi squad, basically, meaning your regular roster will start at 30, drop to 28, then drop to 26 over time. Meanwhile, you'll still have another 24, 25, or 26, or 28. You'll have that many guys in that pool to kind of – that basically works as your minor leagues. You just don't have the all of the teams that you normally have. But you'll basically have two teams of guys. One team will be live. The other team will be the taxi squad. And that's how they'll try to manipulate their rosters throughout the course of the season.
Chris, you have anything to add or any thoughts?
I don't. Tony explained that perfectly.
All right, perfect. Let's get to the last and final one. Thank you, Caesar and IB, for that one. And I've lost my document. I have lost.
There's a moment. Oh. There's a moment that may live for a while.
I have lost the document. I found it. Jennifer and Santee, because the National League will be going DH, I've heard you guys talk briefly about which guy would be the best DH. But do you think the Padres need to try and trade for someone who is a more reliable designated hitter? Jennifer and Santee, Chris, you're up first.
They don't if Franchy Cordero is Franchy Cordero and hits the way I think he hopefully can and can do it consistently. I'm just such a big Franchy Cordero fan. I think he's one of the key guys this whole season. I think he can DH. He hits from both sides of the plate. If he doesn't come through, Josh Naylor's a good candidate to hit against right-handers. Ty France, a good hitter, candidate to hit against left-handers. So I don't think trading for a, quote, DH is all that important. I think the Padres have Franchy, and they have some other options as well, including Francisco Mejia, so that they can get Austin Hedges into the starting lineup at catcher.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think that the Padres could trade for someone who is a more reliable DH?
I don't think there's a need to right now, but I would be cautious when it comes to the trade deadline and DH, because my guess is, as the season unfolds, there will be teams, that market's probably going to be pretty stout, you know, with all the National League teams who may weren't prepared to necessarily have one. If they don't get the type of DH production that teams are, maybe the teams that are in the playoffs are getting, you could see that market heat up. But I think the Padres have some candidates. Obviously Franchy Cordero is one of them. They got quite a few guys I think that could be in it, but being a DH is not easy. Trust me, like having to go sit in the dugout after you make it out and not have a defensive position to kind of
to make a great play and get yourself
back in the game. It's tough, and especially when you haven't done it before. This is going to be a learning experience for a lot of guys in the National League.
I know. Growing up, I always thought, man, the DH would be the best position on the team.
I used to think so, too. I did.
And it's...
Then I had the opportunity to DH, and I made a couple outs quick, and that's all I was thinking about.
Do you go back in and kind of stay loose by being in
the cage? You try to go back in. You come down from your adrenaline rush of being
in
that
at-bat. You didn't run up to the owner's box and hang out with Jack Flaherty?
Yeah, you didn't get your cocktail?
Nah, uniform personnel can't.
With Jack? Good old Jay Flair, I believe Tony calls him.
Jay Flair,
Flair could have spent some quality time together.
No, I wasn't afforded that opportunity, unfortunately.
All right, that's unfortunate. Yeah. That's too bad. All right, thank you to our Padres pen pals for this week, Raul, Caesar, and Jennifer.
Good job, guys. Good questions. We have a visit with Scott Miller, latest on Major League Baseball, and the demise of the Dodgers? Oh, we could only hope. We'll tell you what we're talking about when we come back to Scott Miller. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. This is Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Winding on down, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. We take you to the end of the show. We need to check some traffic. Here's Kelly Danny.
Wrapping up our afternoon drive with a rollover crash in Mission Valley. Westbound side of the 8 at the 163, it is over to the right shoulder. Traveling on the westbound 52 before Santo Road, watch out for a large trash bag in the fast lane. And southbound side of the 163, Genesee Avenue off-ramp, watch out for a wood plank in the left lane. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We have to lead the entire country in random things that fall out of people's cars. Couches, wood... Wood 4x4s, whatever it may be. I digress. We need to get to this interview. Scott Miller, Bleacher Report earlier, had him on talking about maybe the last dance of the Dodgers. Here's a listen.
Were you surprised at all to see a couple of names come out today in Ryan Zimmerman, Mike Leake, or do you think this is the first of many?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess mildly surprised, although I don't know if I'd say it'll be the first of many, but I do think there'll be a handful of players that, you know, that opt out because this is, I mean, it's just crazy. And especially the numbers going up and across the country again in so many states. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, we're entering a world that we have no idea. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, social distancing in the dugout and guys who aren't playing in that game have to sit elsewhere. And, you know, even stuff like no spitting. I mean, I think it's both sobering. Those protocols hit home hard. And I think they're going to remind players that this isn't just back to business as usual. And I think that, it's going to be jarring as well. I mean, I'll tell you this, I we all do what we do. I try to run, you know, I run, you know, several times a week. And I think of baseball when I run simply because, you know, it's hot. It's summertime right now. You're hot. You get worked, you know, you get a sweat going. You get this, you get this. I spit every single time I run. I mean, it's not like I do it in an excessive amount, but every time I do, I'm running, I'm sweating, you know, you end up spitting. And I think of baseball, I'm like, how
you're
are these guys not going to do that?
right. No, I think Chris and I have asked the same question. As a matter of fact, I think we talked with one of the players last week about that very same issue. It's like, if they actually thought it was going to be an issue, and I don't think we've talked to one guy who doesn't think that's going to be an issue, but certainly something everybody's going to have to adapt to. I want to talk to you a little bit about the article, the story you read in Bleacher Report about the Dodgers and their last dance. They seemingly have been in it for the last 7-8 years now, going back to having a legitimate chance to win a title. They haven't gotten it done. And for most teams, the window seems to close a lot earlier than this, but they've been able to extend the window to this point, but this could be their last chance at it, though, right?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I do think I'm certainly not going to cop out on you guys. I mean, as especially Chris, I know when you and I worked at the old Los Angeles Times together in San Diego, as you well know, and Tony, I'm sure you do too. You always hear writers say, "Hey, man, I don't write the headlines," and so I didn't write that. That was
right.
A little
didn't write
bit
that
of
headline. I got you.
But no, I mean, there are points to be made. I mean, I don't know. You know, I would say to this toward the question of might this be the Dodgers' last dance? I mean, well, first of all, they've got a lot of good young talent. I mean, Gavin Lux and Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May. So you know, Walker Buehler obviously looks like he'll just step in for Clayton Kershaw and, you know, when Kershaw's done. But, you know, I mean, Buehler already was the game one starter in the playoffs last year. But all of that said, I mean, really the facts are, and the facts in sports are, you know, Dodgers won 7 National League West titles in a row. It's not going to go on forever. Now, I know Atlanta won 14 in a row, so maybe it could go on for a little longer. But, you know, the odds are that somebody else in the National League West is going to continue to get stronger and stronger and unseat the Dodgers. And as the years go on, the Dodgers, you know, we're going to see how well they change things. I mean, the facts are, aside from 7 division titles in a row, and that eventually it's going to end. You know, Mookie Betts, as you guys well know, free agent this year, and they're only going to have him for the 60 games. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they try to sign him back, but there are no guarantees. Justin Turner, getting older and, like Betts, free agent this year. David Price looks like he has something left, but he's certainly older. Clayton Kershaw is on the back 9. Kenley Jansen is getting older. Yeah, there's some young talent there, but that's young, that's unproven until the youngsters step up and do it. So, you know, you've got certain key players on this roster are aging, they're free agents. So we'll see.
Is there ever that thought, though, that the Dodgers, just no matter what happens, because it seems like they've kind of established this over the last 7 years, Scott, is that no matter what happens, the Dodgers just go out and purchase themselves contention if they need to. Is there still that, or do you think a team still has to be developing a good number of younger players to keep up with the rest of the division? You can't just do it with free agency and just do it with, you know, buying guys.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, and that's where locally, you know, AJ Preller, what he's trying to do with the Padres is, you know, build up a strong farm system. I mean, I do think, you know, you see that's certainly the way to go. Free agent, in a perfect world for me, free agency is there to supplement, not to be the main part of your building. You know, I mean, look back to the Yankees. You know, when they had their last great run from 96 through 2001 or two, you know, Derek Jeter was homegrown. Andy Pettit was homegrown. Mariano Rivera was homegrown. Jorge Posada was homegrown. If you look at the Yankees in the 80s, the decade of the 80s, after 81, they weren't even in the playoffs. They didn't win any divisions. They were not a factor in the 80s, and a lot of it was that's when George Steinbrenner was at the top of his free agent spending game. You know, I mean, they kept throwing all kinds of money at guys like Dave Winfield and others to come in, all kinds of free agents, and they never could find the right combination. It wasn't until the 90s when they got the Jeters and the Pettits, the homegrown guys, and then eventually they made smart moves to supplement with free agents like Scott Brosius. You know, the more supplemental, the right piece at the right time, guys, not necessarily the signing the huge star on the free agent market every year.
Scott, we've had Dylan Hernandez on from the LA Times many times, and he is
good dude. I like
that. He's a great dude, smart. And he is always on top of the Dodgers and their front office. He is one of the main guys that I know that really speaks to how they do business there. Now, they've changed their model since Friedman has arrived there as the GM. They have taken a much more Tampa Bay-like style in terms of going after free agency, really building that farm system. And they've been reluctant to make big moves. Now, that doesn't pertain to this offseason because they actually went out and pulled the trigger on this. Is this a one-year type thing? Because the evidence shows that Friedman is not the type of GM that's going to go out and spend a whole lot of money in free agency.
No, you're exactly right. And that's one reason why I think the Dodgers have been able to do what they've done over the last 7 years. You know, both free agency and also his philosophy as well fits into the July trade deadline, when those big high-priced stars become available. He's been reluctant to spend big money on free agency and to include his top prospects in any trades. And Bryce Harper, for example, 2 years ago, a lot of people thought he would fit in really well with the Dodgers. He had that little bit of that Hollywood swag. He's from Las Vegas. A lot of people thought he would want to come west. Dodgers really didn't make a move toward Bryce Harper because part of it, I think, with them and with Friedman is you can't be putting an inordinate amount of percentage of your player payroll toward three or four guys. And that's why they didn't go after a Bryce Harper, for example. And you think back a few years ago when they let Zach Greinke go. Remember, Greinke had that opt-out, and then the Dodgers were renegotiating with him, and they wanted to keep him. Back then, he was number two on the staff behind Clayton Kershaw, who then was at the top of his game. But, the Diamondbacks got involved, and the Diamondbacks gave Greinke a sixth year, and Friedman drew the line. Again, that ties into Greinke was a free agent because he opted out, but the Dodgers still kind of had that home court advantage because he was one of theirs, but he drew the line. He's like, there's only so far we're going to go, be it Zach Greinke or anybody else. And, consequently he's made the smart moves, the inexpensive free agents like Justin Turner, he kind of picked up off the scrap heap, Chris Taylor, the same thing. And then he's kept his young guys. I still think had they traded for Justin Verlander with the Tigers in 2017 instead of Houston completing that deal, I think Dodgers, I don't care whether the Astros were banging on trash cans or not. I think if the Dodgers had Justin Verlander, they would have won the 2017 World Series. But yeah. Same thing, the Dodgers didn't want to give up the young guys, and so they've been able to kind of sacrifice a little bit in terms of keeping their self-control and not overspending on a Verlander on the free agent market on the trade market or an expensive free agent. But that's also, that's maybe kept them from winning a World Series as well.
Scott Miller from Bleacher Report talking a little baseball and fun talking about baseball and rosters and. Yeah, it is, and going to get some of your thoughts on the Padres' 52-man pool of players that they have announced and selected. And, I don't know. I guess it's just a sign of the times or because of the times that you got, your number one draft choice, Robert Hassel III is on that list, and C.J. Abrams and Ryan Weathers and guys that were just picked here in the last couple of years. And to get a chance to rub elbows with the veteran players for at least a few weeks before the start of the regular season, I think that's good for the Padres, don't you, Scott?
Yeah, anytime those young guys can see the veterans and how they work, that's I think going to expedite their development. And the other thing is with no minor leagues being played at all. You hate to see some of those kids just not play any baseball at all this year. So I think those are the two things for me by inviting them to the summer camp. You introduce them to the major leaguers in your system and they can watch the major leaguers work and understand what kind of a work ethic is required at the major league level. And at the same time, it gets them on the field and it allows them to play when, if you didn't invite them to camp, they basically be going home and working out on their own for pretty much the duration of the summer.
Scott, one last question for me in regards to the acquisitions the Dodgers made over the offseason, Mookie Betts. Now, it was thought that this offseason he would be looking for something around $400 million or some crazy number like that.
Yep.
Obviously, with a 60-game season, it would seem a little more difficult. I mean, I would assume that has to play a major factor in what is offered because I think, obviously, there are going to be plenty of teams in play for Mookie Betts when he becomes a free agent. And it doesn't seem in the past the Dodgers have been willing to go that, as you said, that extra yard. So does this bring his price down in a 60-game season, or will the other seasons kind of outweigh this one?
You know, Tony, for me, I think the 60-game season maybe won't affect him as much as others, simply because he's been in the league long enough. People know Mookie Betts, and I think they'll trust he is what he is. So I don't know that the short season and thus the numbers that won't be there for him. I don't know if that'll affect things, but I do think this pandemic is going to affect. I think playing this year with no fans in the stands, and I think owners are scared about what's going to happen next year, because I think they're, from people I've talked to, I think they're full well prepared to open next season with minimal fans in the stands, mm-hmm. because, you know, who knows when we're going to get a vaccine. And, you know, even if we do, it's not going to be, you know, best case scenario, best case, if you listen to the experts, it's like, you know, early next year. And that's best case. It might not be till later next year. And if there's no vaccine when opening day next year rolls around, you know, is it going to be, you know, small crowds and social distancing? And I know some owners are worried that they think if it's been a bloodbath financially this year, next year ain't going to be all that much better either. So for Betts, I mean, it's going to be fascinating just from a business standpoint of baseball, what happens. But I think it's going to be bloodbath for the free agents this year, whether it's a 60-game season or whatever it is, because I think free agent salaries are going to be depressed. Some of those guys, to me, I think they may have to sign another one-year deal and then go back into the free agent market the following year, hoping that it's somewhat business as normal with fans in the stands again.
That means that some of these smaller market teams, hint, hint, could be in play then.
Yeah, if it's a one-year deal, right?
Yeah, right, one-year deal.
Tony loves to talk about the Minnesota Twins. He just does. There's nothing we can do about it. He's always sneaking his little Twins conversation in. And he knows that you used to cover the Twins, Scott, so he's always trying to get a little insight there. Understandable.
That's right.
Understandable. Hey, Scott, thanks for your time as always. Appreciate it. Always fun catching up with you. Be careful when you're jogging. Don't want to see you get pulled over by the COVID cops for spitting as you're working your way along there. That's Scraby. If Scraby ever saw you jogging, he'd pull you over in a heartbeat.
Oh,
so
man.
Be careful.
All right, guys.
Him and the family, stay safe, and we'll
see you. Thanks,
Scotty. Sounds good. You guys be safe as well, and the listeners as well, and hopefully we'll see you at a ballpark soon.
That you got, yes, it. Thanks, Scott. Scott Miller right there from Bleacher Report. And you can catch his latest story on hopefully, right? The demise of the Dodgers. The end of the Dodgers. I don't know. That sounds a little bit much, but as he said, he didn't write the headline.
It does sound a little bit much, but we can all hope.
The headline, and he kind of got caught on that one, because it was like, hey, Scott, so you said the Dodgers are never going to win a game again. He's like, I don't think I really said that. I didn't really write that either, but that's what they put. Scott joined us on the San Diego County Credit Union Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U, or to apply online, visit sdccu.com.
Yep, once again, Scott Miller, hopefully, is the first article to the Dodgers' demise. Hadn't seen it yet, but Scott was the first one to write, even though that wasn't his
intent to bury them forever. That's what we will give him credit for doing.
Yes, indeed. We are coming to the end of our show here. Just a reminder to everybody, we have a roundtable number 2 coming your way. We're talking starting pitching tomorrow. Padres starting
tomorrow at noon.
Yes.
Yes, it'll be you and I and the coach and I believe Stephen Woods. All together tomorrow.
Where's Ben?
I don't know. He's. I don't think he's going to be part of tomorrow's roundtable. He does. He never knew anything about pitching to begin with. So. I don't know.
That music means that's all for today's show. Gwen and Chris, back at you again tomorrow, same time, same channel. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your day. Your night, I should say. Chris, enjoy your night.
Buddy.
Scraby, enjoy your night.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.